Hey, everybody, welcome to this week's episode of the Liberty Squadron podcast. My name is Andrew Lewinsky. This week I am joined with Rob Kaiser.
Hello.
Marshall Staggs.
Hey, everyone.
And Lou Caravelli. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, no, you're saying it right. Hey, everybody.
Hey, welcome, Lou. Jonathan is off this week. He's adventuring in California. So
he has the week off.
We released him.
Yeah.
So we got some news this week. We have some announcements that we want to do. We have the contest announcements that we'll release. So we'll go over all that. We have the Worlds qualifiers, how to qualify for Worlds, get you out there and ready for the World Championship. The first World Championship for 2.0, they released the information for that. First thing we're going to go over, Rob's back from Gen Con. Rob, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so I did survive. So yeah, I was not here last week because I got the con flu, which... I guess I can talk about all that. But anyway, so this is more. So this is my first time going to Gen Con. So this is going to be more for people that have never been. I just need to talk about the first day, especially since really it's an X-Wing podcast. First day you're going to go is Thursday. That's when the exhibition hall is going to be open. And what I did, what I think any other good X-Wing player did, was you found the door closest to the FFG booth. You got there like an hour and a half before the doors open to go into the exhibition hall, and you wait in line for the doors to open, and then it's just a cattle call. Like, you just pushing to get through those doors. And then you immediately go around a corner, and there's a guy with a large, a 7 or 8 foot sign that says, FFG, line ends here. And he's just constantly moving back as people are filing into the line and filing into the line, and it snakes around in one queue, goes across the walkway into a secondary queue, and then keeps snaking along the way. And I thought I got there. Oh man. And I thought I was probably going to be there for like 5 hours. Like, I thought that was my entire day.
How many people do you think were there?
At the X-Wing thing?
Yeah.
At the, I don't
like waiting in line for 2.0.
Yeah. Like, but like ahead of me, a couple hundred. And then even, you know, behind me there, I mean, it just kept going and going, and I kept, like, people would ask, like, oh, is this the line to get in? And they're like, no, it goes way back there. And they'd be like, oh, well, where's the end of the line? And they just kept, like, every time I saw somebody try to point to them and tell them where it was like, first you want to go through Narnia. And then you're going to come out here and you're going to go over like Whomping Willow Tree. And it was insane how far back this line ended up going and snaking. But the cool thing and the good thing is if you're thinking about doing this kind of stuff, is the line actually moves quite quickly. And they do this in like two ways. One, they only let a limited amount of people in to the booth at a time. And most people, I think at this point, they know exactly what they're getting. The other thing that they're doing is the hot ticket items, the things that are brand new there. So they had some Legion stuff. They had all the X, like any of the X-Wing, like 2.0 stuff you can think of. There was a lot of stuff, and they give out these tickets. So they go around the line, and they have a giant box of these cards that they're like, who wants a Lando's Falcon? And they go around. Do you want one? Do you want one? You can have up to two. And if you grab one, it says, this guarantees that you will get a Lando Falcon. So they have taken the effort to make sure that the amount of cards they have is equal to the amount of product that they have. So if you have a Lando Falcon card in your hand, you're guaranteed to get one up to, like, I think 2 hours before the exhibition hall closes, because then at that point they just let anybody come in and get what they want, because usually the lines have died down by then. So could technically get the card and then get out of line, but they don't give the cards out until you're well in the line anyways. So at that point you might as well stay. So I got all my cards, and it just kept snaking. And, I was there two and a half hours max. And got all my stuff, got in, got out. It was pretty great. That was like, again, because you're listening to an X-Wing podcast, that's the biggest thing you want to hear. The interesting thing though is going and being by the door that I was to get in, everybody there, I could turn to any single one of those people and be like, you here for X-Wing? They'd be like, sure am. Every single one of them. I met this really nice, like 7 foot tall, like huge dude named Alex. Great guy. He played in one of the 2.0 tournaments earlier or later that day. He had been there twice before, and he was a huge guy. So I'm like, I'm gonna be behind you, and like
just you're gonna put off him.
Exactly. It's like I'm following you because he knew exactly where to go, what to do. He's like, I'm gonna follow you. My wife and my brother with me. I'm like, we're following him, and then it just kind of came down to like whichever one of us of our a group of three got in the line first. Like I was the only one that wanted anything from FFG, so my wife would actually got in line before that. And my brother, so I took her spot, and then they went off to do other things. Overall, like, the experience is fantastic. Gen Con in general, we went 2 of the 4 days. We went Thursday and Friday. Saturday, I've always been told to avoid, because that's when, like, you know, everybody's off work. That's, you know, the weekend, so everybody goes. I've heard Sunday is a good day to go because crowds can be lower. You may not get your con exclusive, but a lot of times you can get better deals that day because people don't want to drag home all of their merch. So in our case, we were staying with my cousin and her family, and they went on Sunday, and they cleaned up with just like, here, take this stuff. Like, here, if you buy this, we'll throw in just an absurd amount of boosters for like this card game that their son was interested in. That's what I heard, but we signed up, me and my wife and my brother signed up for a bunch of events. This sounds interesting. Let's sign up for that. Like, and the way they do it at Gen Con, especially, it's different from PAX Unplugged or even like Comic-Con or something, is everything, even if it's free, you have to get a ticket for. So if it's like a workshop to like teach you how to run a small business, you know, like a, you know, or something like that, you have to get a ticket, just so they know, like, if all the seats are full or anything like that. So that can be a good and bad thing. We ended up not going to any of those. We were able to for an entire two days, just spent in the exhibition hall, looking at stuff, playing demos, and just having a good time and stopping for lunch and things like that. But the time flew. I think we're probably going to make it a yearly thing. I think we had enough fun and because we have family that lets us stay with them, that's close enough to the city. I think we're going to do it all the time. And I'm hoping that next year we'll be able to do more than just the exhibition hall.
Because you didn't get a chance to play any X-Wing, right?
I didn't want to. I didn't want to bring all my stuff, and it was most of like the stuff that mattered was 1.0, and I didn't want to play 1.0 in that type of tournament, like where people have like driven hours upon hours or flown, have hotel rooms, and they're there to win, and I just was not in the mood. Well, I just with 1.0, I don't have it in me.
You're tapped out at this point, yeah.
I'm tapped out of 1.0. If it was like a serious 2.0, I would have considered it. But for my first Gen Con, I really just wanted to enjoy it, not worry about being here at this time.
Oh, yeah, you want to be able to go see everything.
I don't feel like I really missed anything. I know that there are tons of things that I didn't do, and I heard of things that were interesting or fun, but I really feel like I didn't miss a thing. Like I had such a good time, I would have loved to have more friends from our area there. That would have been cool.
You went to the FFG press conference, right?
I did not because we had it on Wednesday, and I was driving. We had just gotten to our family's house when they were starting, and I believe I originally had heard it was going to be on a Friday, and they changed it to Wednesday, but I could be wrong about that. I think this was like months and months ago, though. And I also didn't know at the time. I also didn't know when I was like, yeah, I'm definitely going to go to that I would have needed a ticket anyways. Mm-hmm. So, you know, somebody that hasn't been to Gen Con, keep that in mind. Like, if you're going to go to Gen Con and you want, or things you want to do, or even just curious about things that are potentially going to happen, even if you don't know, like, if you don't know it's going to happen is one thing, but as soon as they list the events, you have to book them because they will immediately go. Like they'll even do in something that's really cool, and I wish I would have known. Again, this is something I just didn't know because I didn't even know to look into it. Is you can, for like, usually it's like $2 a person, you can buy a ticket to like play a game that isn't released yet. So I was really interested in the Resident Evil 2 game that's coming out from Steamforge Games. And they weren't selling it yet, but they had developers there, and you would have played the game with a developer of the game. And it was like a private thing where it's like you and, you know, it would have been me and my family and this developer just playing their almost finished game or almost released game. And they do that for tons of board games. And I wish I would have known about that because that would have been super fun to do.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Maybe next year we'll have to set up a Liberty Squadron bus to go out there or something.
Maybe. I think
I do want to go. I really do.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun.
I think the one thing that could have made it better, I'll say two things. The one thing is having some friends from here that go, that like you could be like, I'm going to this bar, let's go and have a couple drinks. That would have been fun. Like I'm not, you know, I love my wife and my brother, but neither of them are X-Wing fans. Neither of them particularly like the same things that I do as far as like the board game stuff. So being able to do that might have been fun. The other thing, I forget.
it's a lot to take in. Yeah.
I remember. I really enjoyed staying with family. God, both of my things are like, I love my family, but it was great to stay with family because it was free and my cousin drove us into the city every day, which is great. Like, we didn't have to worry about parking or anything. But the first day, I had like 18 pounds worth of like X-Wing stuff in one hand and then 20 pounds of Kingdom Death Monster in the other. And I could only do, the only thing I could do was walk around with it all day. And that was a pain in the butt. So I would, like, if I did it again, God, it would be tough if I would get a hotel room. Because it opens that opportunity if you get a hotel room right next to it or connected to the event, that you could drop your stuff off, take a nap. You know, it gives you the ability to, like, rest a little and then, like, regroup with friends or family and do something else, where we didn't really have that opportunity. So we would just get home from the con at about 6 o'clock when my cousin got off work and picked us up, and we were exhausted.
Yeah,
like that was it. That was it for the night.
I know people for that went to. I know PAX Unplugged probably does not compare nearly what Gen Con is, but I know people that were in the area that live in the area and were debating getting hotels next year for it just because of the how intense it was, and not having to go home or anything. Just go to the hotel room, rest up, and then go back. I would imagine Gen Con's probably just as bad or way worse.
Oh, Gen Con is 5 to 6 times worse.
I believe it.
And I'm comparing that really just to the size in general. Like, Unplugged was relatively small compared to vast amount of space and that is Gen Con. Like, it even spills into hotels. It spills in one of the stadiums. I'm not sure which one it is. I think it's the basketball stadium. It's everywhere. Like, you go up the escalator, turn around, do this, and like, wow, there's still more stuff here. People are doing things. This is incredible. So it's worth it there. I think Unplugged, if it keeps going the way it's going, I hope it becomes like more of a Gen Con, like an East Coast instead of a Midwestern.
Yeah.
It can only Unplugged can only get bigger, and I am excited about Unplugged.
Nice, yeah. We'll have to see. December it rolls around this year, so we'll see what this.
I think it's like, isn't it like end of November?
It's the last week in November.
It's like November 30th.
Yeah, it's my birthday weekend. So I'm fired up.
But yeah, that's my Gen Con.
All right,
for the most part,
great. Nice. So that's Rob's Gen Con. You heard it here first.
Oh, and I do want to. Yeah, the con flew. Out of my group of people, I was the only one that had ever heard of Conflu as like a thing, you know, out of my wife and my brother. And so I was the one, like, I had the disinfectant, like, if I touched anything, I used the disinfectant, like, you know, the squeeze bottle thing. Like, I had my own. I was the only one that got sick.
Yeah. you probably cleaned so up mad. Too much.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on. Well, I want to welcome Lou to the show. How you doing, Lou?
Ah, pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing good. All right, we got some standard podcast questions that we ask everyone. First thing being, you know, how did you get started into X-Wing?
Well, I was kind of, previously worked at a game store, so I'm just used to being around game stores. When I saw it was coming out, it was something that interested me. I always liked the computer games, X-Wing on the, CD-ROM? IBM PC, whatever you want to call it.
Floppy disk.
Floppy disk, yeah. The ones where you had to really squint hard to see everything. So I kind of equated it to that, and I was like, oh, this would be a really cool game to pick up. And, for a while, it took a little while for the organized play scene to really get moving, you know. But then by Wave 3, I kind of got more involved in that.
So you started you saw it at Wave 1, but you said you started getting into it around Wave 3?
Well, about that. Wave 3 was when I started kind of having more of an interest in it. Wave 2 was really the first time I started doing any tournaments or anything like that.
Nice. Yeah, Lou's one of our biggest organizers in the area for X-Wing. Great guy. He does a lot of games and Top Deck games. Right, so if there's ever a tournament happening there, he is the man behind the scenes, and he runs great events.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
I also manage the Facebook group, South Jersey Philadelphia area X-Wing.
Right. That is where we're basically based out of. If you ever want to join our group, it's the SJPA X-Wing. Yeah, so South Jersey Philadelphia area X-Wing group. If you search us on Facebook. That's how you find us.
If you're somehow not on, I don't know how else you would find this podcast. If you're,
that would be
you're not
strange.
On the group. But
that would be a little weird.
If for some reason you are not in the Facebook group, you should definitely get in there. Because that's where we post. Lou and a couple other people really really make that the central hub of our local X-Wing stuff.
Yeah. All right, Lou, who is your favorite pilot and what is your favorite ship?
I think my favorite ship's just kind of always been the Y-Wing. I'm one of those guys. More sentimental than anything else. I mean, twin laser turrets kind of made it viable for a very long time, but I still just kind of like the Y-Wing. And Dutch, he really carried a lot of my early list, you know, so I have to say Dutch Vander for my favorite pilot.
There you go.
Doesn't mean he's winning anything, but, you know.
As long as you're having fun, that's what matters, right?
Yep.
All right. Do you have what is your favorite Star Wars memory then?
Oh boy,
this is a new question. We usually ask what's your least favorite Star Wars movie, but we'll switch it up a bit.
Right. Yeah, I feel like you're gonna get the same answer a lot. one of the funniest things I remember, it was my cousin who originally kind of showed me Star Wars, and I went nuts over it when I was 4 or something. And I had actually asked him to draw me pictures of all the ships, because at that early I was still obsessed with cataloging, how many fighters do these guys have, you know, and how many ships do these guys have? And of course, my cousin's kind of pretentious, so he decided to do grand artwork of these different things over the years and send them to me. And it's like, that's a really awesome picture of the Millennium Falcon, but that's not what I asked for. I just wanted little sketches. You know, I wanted a catalog of what were these ships. So that was a weird, convoluted answer. But that would be my Star Wars memory, I guess.
Okay. All right. All right, so let's go into the group championship. How long's the group championship been going on for? Hold on. Before we get into that, let's go over what is the group championship.
The group championship is kind of it's just a championship for the aforementioned South Jersey, Philadelphia area X-Wing group. I think around wave 4 or so, I'm not sure, when the group was kind of still in its first year, Joe Tiefenthaler, who played at the time, came up with an idea of a different idea for tournaments. We were kind of, trying to think of answers, trying to think of different events. And he thought of having a really competitive event where all the competitive players come and, determine who's best. But that also came with, like, the only prize was a trophy. And we got 12 people, which was actually pretty good at the time. That was, like, an average tournament. But then for the next year, I was kind of like, well, why don't we make this, like, a bigger thing? Because the store championships, you know, were a big thing. So why don't we have just one for the group? Let's make trophies, all kinds of crap we can give away, T-shirts, things like that. And so that's how the group championship kind of became like a big event, I guess. I hesitate to call it big, but it is pretty big.
Now, let's get into like how many people. What is the biggest group championship we've had then so far?
Well, we had 44 players at the first one.
Nice.
Actually, or was that the second one? One of them was 44. One of them was 40.
Didn't we have? Like, I think it was the third one. Didn't we have, like... I feel like we had closer to 60 for one of them.
No.
Yeah, the 2016 one had about 60 people, I think. That was the first one I went to.
About that. The thing you got to consider, though, is that while a lot of us show up, there's a fair amount of people who aren't playing because they're helping TOing or whatever. So it's like we really do have, like, you know, 54, 56 of us there. But the actual player count, to be fair, I believe it was 48 the one year.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it still fills up Top Deck Games.
Yeah. Sure. All right, so, yeah, we've got the inspiration. Do you have a most memorable group championship moment? Like, is there anything that sticks out?
Well, the problem is with when you're running things, the things you're going to remember are the things that went wrong. So
many judge calls.
Yeah, I try not to to go with that. A memorable moment is that last year I set up that whole background and camera and thing to do interviews with people, and I interviewed Brian Zhu, who had won our third group championship, and then never ended up doing anything with that footage. Like, it's still on my camera. It's not a terrible interview, but there's nothing interesting, you know? I mean, Brian's a cool guy. It's not nothing on him. It's just...
No, Brian is
we're
very
talking very 101 X-Wing stuff and just like, oh, yeah, breaking the ice. Cool. Why did we do this? Yeah.
Anyway. Nice. So the history of the game championship, anything else we should touch base on that?
No. Well, I just wanted to mention that Joe Tiefenthaler's original idea. He was the one who really pioneered it and pushed it to be a thing. Because originally I was kind of like, oh, I don't care too much about competitive stuff. You know, you handle this. But it was a good idea for community building. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's grown into a pretty huge thing. I think we're going to have probably monumental turnout this year.
I think we should have about, 40 to 45, hopefully. Yeah.
Cool.
Last year was a little lower, but you know, it's the state of X-Wing at the time wasn't very strong.
We were in the middle of like pre-nerf genius Nim with it was not a fun time to be playing.
It was the darkest timeline.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
it's worse than the Yuuzhan Vong. Anyway, about the group championship this year is going to be kind of crazy because it's the first weekend after 2.0 is officially released.
So the date is September 29th, correct?
September 29th, yep.
Great.
At 11 o'clock is our aimed starting time.
So it dials down at 11 o'clock, right?
Yes.
So everyone that should already know this, second edition officially releases on September 13th. So it's just over 2 weeks to get ready for it.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's 2 weeks. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's even better because I was kind of worried about, you know, people's inventories, if everyone's going to have a conversion kit, that kind of thing.
Right. So I would say the minimum that you have to get for it is the second edition core and at least one conversion kit.
Right. Right.
So that's not too bad how they have everything set up. So we know that the group championship is going to be all of Wave 1 and the conversion kits. Do we know if like the conversion kits are actually considered Wave 1? Like,
I think the conversion kits are just the conversion
kits.
And Wave 1 is everything that comes in a blister or like an expansion box.
Right. So with the group championship, we are having... It's all Wave 1 and all the conversion kits, correct, Liv?
That's correct.
All right.
So, well, the conversion kits that are out, because just to be sure, First Order and Resistance won't be out by then, I believe.
Right? So don't bring your Kylo Rens or Quick Draws.
Yeah, somebody pointed that out to me, so I figured I'd...
Yeah, we got a couple months on those still.
Yeah.
All right, so the format of it, it's just, you know, standard 6 asteroid, 100 point list, or 200 point list now at this point, right?
200 point dogfight, yeah.
Yeah, don't bring 100 points.
Well, unless you really are feeling cocky.
Right.
Yeah.
That's one hell of a bit, champ.
Here's a question I have, Lou. So they've mentioned that, like, they're going to be different, like, you know, FFG and competitive, like, play group or whatever they're called, have mentioned that they're going to be different types of tournaments or different ways to have a tournament. I don't know if that's, like, having objectives or anything. If before the group camping comes out and there's enough buffer time, if they come out with a format that seems like it would be an interesting, viable thing to do for the group championship, would it be considered, or would it continue to be a dog? What, I mean, do we even know if dogfight is going to be an actual?
That's a good question.
Well, so I think
we don't know. We don't have dogfight. We don't have tournament regulations. We don't have an official format yet. We don't have any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I think it might not be
200
yet.
By 6. It could be something complete. I mean, it's probably going to be 200 by 6.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the rules reference it
doesn't
mention.
Well, if we find out before then, you know, we'll make a decision on that. Until then, I guess we'll just keep it as a 200-point dogfight.
Sure. Go with what you know.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I think that's the way they're doing Coruscant is basically, well, other than their special upgrades, it is 200 points and 6 asteroids. So.
Okay.
I think that is going to be the standard. They did say that in the World's Championship article that this is a cat in the way, that there is opportunity for like regionals and other things to be different formats, though. So that kind of caught me. Like, I was curious if they were going to actually just keep that as the same, but it looks like they actually might make different formats for regionals and stuff, which might be interesting.
That would be.
I kind of hope that they do that.
Yeah. I like the idea of trying to build a list, not just to murder your opponents, but to kind of maximize, you know, like if you know that they're like X tournament is going to be an objective based tournament. And these are the, you know, there are so many different type of objective based, like, you know, a random 5 that you could be playing on.
Right. So kind of like Imperial Assault, they have the same 6.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So like, and then you just are trying to make a list. You either stick to like, I'll just murder them before they can get enough points, or try to build balanced or build just for, you know, objectives or whatever. Like, that'll be interesting. I like that.
Right. So, but for the time being, the group championship is going to be 200 points, 6 asteroids.
Yeah.
Do we, Lou, do we know anything about prizes at this point?
Well, yeah, partially. One of the things is that Top Deck Games didn't have a store championship this year. We couldn't really fit it into the schedule. So we will be using that store championship kit at the group championship. Obviously, the passes for regionals aren't going to be valid. That's not, you know, the store championships were supposed to be 1.0. But to be fair, we've run store championships way off schedule before. It's nothing new.
Yeah, it's pretty flexible, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so it'll be that kit in addition to Brian's making some trophies again.
Cool.
We're going to get some custom, we're going to get some counters online using the t-shirt money.
Do you want to?
That's about it.
Why don't you mention the t-shirts now then? Promote the t-shirts.
We do have a store for the South Jersey Philly area X-Wing group on Teespring. I'll link to it.
Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes, or I'll put it on the, when we post this, I will link it with the episode. Cool.
And it's just got those t-shirts that we've been selling for the last few years. It's a lot easier for Teespring to handle it instead of me having like a certain amount printed at once and people paying for them on the spot and handling all the money and shipping.
You actually got a second edition t-shirt in there, don't you?
Yeah, the design for this year is really the same thing. Same Liberty Bell X-Wing logo, you know, says the same thing. But we got a 2.0 added right after X-Wing.
Nice.
In a graffiti-like font. which, you know, in my head, it was a lot more impressive looking than when I did it. But
it still looks good.
I like it. I like it. And we also have on that store the Liberty Squadron shirts available. Plus a Liberty Squadron mug too. It's got Liberty Squadron's logo on one side.
Whoa!
I gotta get SJPA that copy. Logo.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's only $12 instead of $13 like the other mug. Forgot how much I was charging.
I get it.
Yeah. So there's my plug.
Nice. And where the entry? Do we know how much that's going to cost?
$15.
That's pretty good. Yeah,
it's that's usually usually they're 10 actually 15, but you can charge 15.
Yeah,
I mean it'll be 5 or 6 rounds of Swiss. I would imagine.
Oh yeah, five rounds of Swiss and then a top cut.
Presumably top eight. Top deck is always good about prize support and store credit and stuff. So definitely
they're
worth crazy. The money. Yeah,
personal credit. They give a lot of store credit.
I believe we will be there streaming it live.
I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, we'll have everything set up for you. I'm going to try to get in there the night before and set everything up. And then we will have everything live posted to the group and through Reddit and all those other mediums. We might even have Luke commentating for us.
We'll see how things are going. It's going to be really interesting with...
You're going to be running around answering questions.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm... Myself, Jonathan.
A lot of studying to do.
Right. The rules reference is a little tricky. We've been studying it nonstop and hope to help you out.
Cool.
Okay. All right. Anything else about the group championship coming up? Any other questions? No? All right.
Good.
Marshall, you are prepping us for the group championship. What do you got here?
Yeah. So speaking of running around answering questions and chaos and nobody having any idea what's going on, we were talking and Showcase Comics down in Swarthmore has been gracious enough to lend us the Sunday before the group championship we're calling X-Wing Boot Camp. So it's going to start at noon at Showcase. Just show up with all your 2.0 stuff as much 2.0 stuff as you care to haul around with
September 23rd, right?
And we're just going to get a bunch of people together to play games and like test out lists and answer questions and try to figure out how the rules work. Because I don't think anyone's really going to have a sense, after a couple weeks of... You know what they're going to want to fly, and people are going to want an opportunity to try out as much stuff as possible because those conversion kits are just crammed with stuff. Like it's more stuff than you could ever try out, in a month. But we're gonna try to cram it into one to one day. For people who maybe can't make it out to a Tuesday or a Thursday. Night after work or, someone who might not get their 2.0 stuff until like a week before the store champion or the group championship. It'll just be a good way to get together with everyone and kind of get a baseline for how 2.0 works and just have a good time. Cause I feel like we haven't had a weekend tournament or like a weekend event in a while. And I know I'm excited about 2.0 and I know a lot of other people are looking to jump back into X-Wing. After being out of the game for a while. And that'll be a good opportunity to do that.
Yeah, well, grind out a bunch of games and resets and get all the rules clarified beforehand.
Yeah, we'll probably go until 5 or like until they throw us out. I forget what time Showcase closes on Sundays. Just show up at noon. We'll try to get as many games in as possible. That's Sunday, September 23rd.
Good.
Okay. Now, Marshall, is that does that cost anything?
No, this is a completely free casual event. There's no entry fee. It's not a tournament. We're not going to be giving out prizes. We're not going to be like tracking wins and losses. I think maybe if enough people all show up at noon, are quote unquote on time or whatever, we may like. I may want to like start a round timer just so so people will like finish games and then we can all like shuffle around and not have to play the same person over and over again because games are ending at the same time.
Makes sense.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah. But yeah, totally free. Don't worry about an entry fee or anything. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So get your 2.0 ready on September 23rd. Showcase Comics down in Swarthmore. A nice little commercial. All right. Let's go into, we had a article from FFG this week about the World Championship. For anyone that doesn't know, you have to qualify this year for the World Championship in October. So it's not this October, but it's October of 2019. So it's a little bit away.
The one year that I was finally planning on going, I was organizing, not like totally organizing my year around it or whatever, but I was like, okay, this year I'm finally going to do it. And then they make me qualify for it, which is something that's like never going to happen.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, what do we have to do to go?
There's a lot of ways to qualify for this. One of the easiest ways to qualify is the regionals now. So I guess before you always could win a regional and you'd automatically have an invite to Worlds. With regionals being a lot more available this year, I would say that might be the best way to get it. I mean, if you don't feel like traveling to a bunch of system opens, which we'll get into, or anything like that, we should see a decent amount of regionals within the surrounding area. Whereas before, only certain stores would get the regionals picked by FFG. This year, if a store could hold, I believe it was a minimum of 64 people, they were allowed to purchase a regional kit. So that is like the first way that you would want to try to qualify for Worlds. What do we got next? The next way is through the hyperspace, or the system opens, basically. Oh, I'm sorry. So we should talk about that. The regionals are now called hyperspace trials. Right. And the hyperspace cups are nationals now. So there, in nationals, I believe it is the top two that get invites to Worlds. I believe if you win nationals, you actually get your flight and everything paid for to Worlds. So the next way to get in is through the System Open Series. With the System Open Series, you have to at least place top eight. So each System Open, they've kind of hinted to us that they are going to be bringing a lot more System Opens. So hopefully we are getting another one this year at PAX Unplugged. I would imagine they would. And that would be another way to get in there. The other way is, I believe, the hyperspace qualifiers. Is that what they were last year?
Yeah, that's the thing where it's like six rounds of Swiss, and then whoever wins,
whoever's undefeated.
Right. Yeah, whoever's undefeated.
Right. So I believe that was the other thing, that if it was undefeated, if you were undefeated in one of these system opens, even if, like, let's say there's a cut of top 16 and you still were undefeated but then got knocked down the first round, you still got an invite. Other than that, it doesn't look like there's too much more to get in. Like, they are the only ways to get into Worlds now. You can't just randomly apply at a lottery or anything like that. You actually have to win your way in. I know a lot of people are a little bit upset about this, which I can understand. People are going, you know, this is their vacation. They like to see everyone that they play with, and they can't, you know, always see them because of where they're located or anything like that. But at the same time, I think FFG is taking the next step into the competitive world. They have the number one miniatures game right now, and it's kind of like, people kind of complained a little bit, I would say, with first edition, where they have this game, but at the same time, they don't really treat it as the competitive world. They didn't give it the proper, like, respect for it. What do you think about that?
I think it's weird that there are now, unless they're not doing Coruscant again, that there are now two invitational events. It seems like they're, like, this is the final Coruscant, maybe, because the system opens are now just feeding into Worlds.
Right, and before, wasn't Coruscant always at, Star Wars celebration.
Yeah, it was in the first two were in Orlando,
I right? think. And I think because they didn't do a Star Wars, they didn't do one this year, so they had to move Coruscant to actually their FFG Game Center. So this Coruscant this year is almost like a test run for Worlds, I would say, next year.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of there being an invitational event, but it does cause problems at from a community standpoint. Like, people go to Worlds to like not necessarily even to play X-Wing, but to like
just see
hang out with people that they've known in the community for years. And another issue that was raised on other podcasts and like in other online discussions, which I think is like kind of a big deal, is that not every country that plays X-Wing gets a system open or like even support for regionals and like higher level organized play. So there may be countries where X-Wing is very popular and like where X-Wing was like feeding into previous Worlds where, you know, people from those countries aren't going to have any opportunities to qualify.
Yeah, I think they kind of address that issue. I mean, we don't know the logistics or anything of it yet, but they kind of made it seem like we were going to be getting a lot more system opens. At least,
yeah, I hope so.
I know the Australia, the Aussies were very like, you know, we need these, we don't have anything, and
yeah,
they kind of address that.
What I was gonna use.
Yeah. So,
but like someone brought up that you know, Justin Fua is from Singapore, and Singapore doesn't have any organized play, but they got a world champion. They're producing world champion real contenders.
So yeah, that's a very good point. So yeah, I delved a
little bit. That's where it gets me. Like, it's I think it cuts down on the the worldness of the world championship.
So I think this is like really the ball's in FFG's court now. Is if they want to have this competitive game, they're going to have to produce a lot more organized
exactly.
play. So I looked into this, and every other world's championship I guess Warhammer was not invite only, but I was looking at Magic the Gathering, Pokemon trading card, the Yu-Gi-Oh trading card, Catan. Even Guild Ball, these are all, they all have world championships, and every single one of them are invite only. So it's kind of like, I see where FFG is coming from, but at the same time, they really have to produce these organized play events. Otherwise, it's going to be miserable.
So where does, so I get, they're still doing nationals, right? Like, nationals will still be.
So
I guess nationals will become, or I guess it's the Hyperspace
Cup. Right. So it's the Hyperspace Cup, and I'm almost curious if they're going to do more than one each year. Or maybe with like something like Canada or United States, maybe put one on each coast, because I know a lot of the other games are doing that as well, that they do each coast. So are they going to do the North American Championship and the European Championship still? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, because those. I mean, it'll be good if those are still in place for, you know, people to have a high level X-Wing experience that anyone can, you know, get a ticket for and attend without having to qualify for it. It feels better if they still keep that tier of events in place.
Yeah, if they.
But I guess we don't have any scheduling yet or anything, so we don't know what those look like.
No, absolutely. Hopefully, it's a lot better than what they did with the 2018 season, because we were kind of like getting articles like 2-3 weeks before the events actually happened. So
yeah, that was not ideal.
And
for sure.
Hopefully, that was just them cracking down on second edition, trying to iron everything out. And this is, we were actually the play testers here with Coruscant and everything, and they were testing how that went. So we'll see how Coruscant turns out, and hopefully they have enough people there that I'm assuming that they will.
Yeah, they gave out plenty of invites for Coruscant. It'll be a big show, I think.
And I think it's also going to be really good to see an event that literally is the highest ranked players in the world. Where it could
have been. That is an upside.
Right, so I remember back when they did the World's Raffle this past year, how many like podcasters and how many like top level players were like, I don't have an invite, I'm not going. So I think this is a good opportunity to like fix that.
But also like those were people who under the system that was in place could have gotten an invite by winning a regional.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess there weren't that many regionals. There were like 20
right.
something.
So there weren't that many regionals.
These were all people who went to multiple regionals, and I don't know. But I do get their point. Yeah. I understand why people were upset about that. I'm not trying to minimize their.
You see how many people got these Coruscant invites, and you do see a lot more people. The well-known names all have invites to Coruscant, so. Maybe this is the right direction to go.
Yeah, I just want to jump in. I think we're probably going to see some of this change as, you know, as it goes. Like, you know, they're introducing this new system. I think it's going to change. I think they're trying this out, and then it just seems like an awful lot, and there's going to be burnout, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a concern that I have.
Yeah, especially in areas as saturated as like this, you're going to see like so the wave kits are kind of like store championships, and we already know that we have three waves basically dropping within less than 6 months. Is they're putting a lot that people are going to be loving this game, and I hope they're right. But at the same time, if they don't, if it falls off completely, they're going to be wasting a lot of resources, and people are just going to. Stores are not going to buy the products because people aren't going to their stores to play this, but hopefully that's not the case.
Yeah, I just don't want them to go too elitist with what they're doing. Like, I understand and I do agree with the idea of there being like invitationals and you have to have an invite to things. I just don't want it to get out of control with like even lower tier events. Where it feels like you're kind of like, oh, well, if I'm not X amount of like percentage of goodness at this game, I shouldn't even bother showing up, kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so they do have the different level of events for the store championships with the threat level cards and the themed events, which I think is going to appeal to a very specific crowd. But the other thing is. They have the Wave Championship, which seems like it's just going to be a normal store championship, which could be exactly that, where people are trying to be the elitist, and that could be a problem. But any other comments about Worlds? I know.
So it's X-Wing only Worlds in fall of 2019. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I believe it's October of 2019.
October 2019. Right. Okay.
So we don't have. Too much after that, but we do know that is how you qualify, at least for this first. And the other thing that kind of stinks is, so we know that there's two regional seasons. There's the fall season and the spring season, and this is the first year of doing it, so it looks like there's only going to be a spring regional season. So I'm curious if all the stores that apply for the regional kits are going to be allowed to do a spring regional, and then is the fall regional season going to be technically the 2020 regional season or hyperspace? You can only do a store can only do one regional a year, even though there's two regional seasons. I'm curious if the 2019 season is just going to be spring, or if what's the case going to be that? Because I would imagine the fall regional season is for. In 2019 is going to be for the 2020 World's Championship.
Right.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see about that.
I don't know. Yeah, they need to give us an OP article pretty soon, I think. It's weird that they haven't at least announced the upcoming stuff for the next, I don't know, 6 months or whatever. But we are used to waiting at this point, so we shall wait some more and then
This is correct, yeah.
Hopefully we'll get some information before 2.0 actually drops.
They have been dropping, I will give them props that they've been dropping at least one article a week. A lot of times two.
Yeah, they've been keeping us in the loop a little bit.
So. Hopefully everything's in the past with first edition. I don't have this in the show notes, but one thing I do want to add in here is the downfall, well, not downfall, I should say, but the list juggler closing. It's no longer going to be a thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they announced yesterday. Scum and Villainy is shutting... Well, I don't know if they're shutting it down completely, but they will no longer be updating it with the app.
They can't anymore.
Yeah, it's not going to be compatible. There's
no way to put information into it.
It's literally would rely on people putting their own list in. We know how that works. Everyone puts in wrong lists, so... First, I want to say thanks for everyone at Scum and Villainy for doing that for all these years. I know a lot of people are excited about it, but at the same time, those popular lists are going to get around. And
I have very mixed feelings about it. My initial reaction was kind of like, oh, thank God. But also, upon further reflection, it served a purpose, and it was something that the community benefited a great deal from.
Right, so even if you didn't want to... copy or netlist off of something like that, you could technically look at that and see what you were going to. If you're going to a high level tournament, you could go to List Juggler and see what you were more than likely going to be up against and start practicing against it. But looks like they are no longer going to be upkeeping with that. But so again, thanks to everyone over at Scum and Villainy for taking care of that, and hopefully one day in the future we can have something similar.
Yeah, it was a tremendous technical undertaking that definitely deserves applause. I think they did a really good job about making that thing not only like a useful and like functional service in and of itself, but by like the whole I forget what the file extension is, like the SWX file extension or whatever. Yeah. Like having all that cross compatibility between all the different squad builders and List Juggler, that stuff was all really cool, and that will definitely be missed when we're all locked into the FFG app, which is probably going to have a whole host of problems of its own.
It will be missed. Pour one out for List Juggler.
Yeah.
All right. Marshall, you did your first second edition game. You want to talk about that?
Very briefly. I'm not. This isn't Nova Squadron. We're not going to do a battle rep or anything. But it was on Vassal. For those of you who have not been on Vassal for a while, Vassal is like 60% of the way there on 2.0. So if you want to go take a look, like with some friends, or I don't know, maybe I don't know how people look for games on Vassal, because the lobby is pretty unpopulated these days. I go on Vassal, there's a fair amount of 2.0 stuff there. Chris and I played a 2.0 game. He was running Whisper with Sloan Crew, which I initially thought was crazy, and a bunch of like generic TIE Strikers. And it turns out, first of all, that Sloan Crew is really good in a swarm, so keep your head on a swivel for that. And that Strikers are really good, which I think maybe in 1.0 they secretly always were pretty good, and now that repositioning kind of comes at a premium in 2.0, they're kind of exceptionally good in that regard. So also, you know, is what I would say. And I was running a Boba Fett with a bunch of junk, and then two Fang Fighters, old Tarok and a generic. And I just got boat raced. It was really bad. Has been playing a few 2.0 games. I know he's played like way more 2.0 games than anyone I know. And Boba Fett. So my initial impression of 2.0 is that after playing a single game is that it's way cleaner than 1.0. And just the way that cards are written and actions work is a lot more intuitive. And there's just less confusion about everything. Everything is so much more clear. But like Decloak still works in a really interesting way. Adaptive Aileron still works in a really interesting way. Linked actions are awesome. They are really, really cool, especially on Fang Fighters. It's something that you'll be able to pick up really quickly. It seems like kind of a weird thing, but it's totally intuitive and it completely makes sense. And it was a good game. He won, and I feel like maybe Reinforce on the Fire Spray is a bit of a trap. We can talk about that some other time. In order to say anything else about that, I'd have to like
Yeah, maybe our first second edition meta analysis. We'll talk about what tracks.
Yeah, we'll see if Boba Fett surfaces in the meta.
And
we'll see what he has to say.
You can count on one person here.
Yeah,
Rob's our Boba Fett playtester.
Boba Fett is scheduled to every list I have made so far.
Nice.
Like in my mind, and I will say, I have not played a game yet. I have organized the shit out of my 2.0 stuff, so if you need some organization tips, I'm your guy. But honestly, I feel like a lot of right now, I feel like there are a lot of upgrade cards, or not upgrade cards, but talent cards that are very good on Boba Fett, depending on the way you want to play him. And I feel like the Fire Spray has a lot of different ways you can play it compared to any other ships right now.
Yeah. Especially because it's got the two titles.
Three titles.
Oh, right. It's three titles.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you could do so many different things.
It has access to Scum Han, which may be, a sleeper, best card in the game, maybe.
4 points, soon to be 10.
Is so good. Yeah. So very, very good.
Yeah.
Triple Zero, also amazing.
I feel like Triple Zero is almost an auto include in any scum list at the moment.
Yeah, he's 3 points. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. He's way underpriced.
Yeah, I think he's 4 points, but even still, it's...
IGD is 4 points. Triple Zero is
3. Okay. Triple Zero is 3.
Triple Zero is 3. Okay, great. So, but yeah, I'm... Every single list that I've built with scum, Triple Zero is... If there's a spot to put him, he's in there.
2.0 is great. That's all I have to say, really.
Right, so I know this is in the works, but I know Chris is talking about trying to get some regular video series started for the group.
Yes. Yeah, that was something we tentatively agreed to do. I don't know if we're going to release... We recorded the game that we played. I don't know if we're going to release it. Both of us made several mistakes in it, so it's not... the best example of a 2.0 game, because there's so much stuff that we forget to do.
Yeah.
Especially me, coming to 2.0 for the first time. But one of the things we talked about is doing a video series that was less of just here's a 2.0 game, and more of a learning series do is some hybrid of what Gold Squadron was doing, where they had the players mic'd separately and they would kind of walk the audience through what their decision-making process, turn by turn.
Yeah.
It might be some hybrid of that, or just a turn by turn breakdown of the game, as we play, talking about what we did and why we did it, and having it be less of a competitive game and more of, just an exploration of the decision-making process that you go through while you're playing a game of X-Wing.
Right. I think it's...
That probably won't come to fruition until there's more 2.0 stuff in Vassal. Or we might just fake it. I don't know. Because Vassal's pretty adaptable. You can kind of do everything you need to do with it.
I think it's X-Wing Mind Games is the one that Gold Squadron does.
That's what it was called. Yeah, yeah. Thanks.
I believe our very own Corey Ahn that moved out to Chicago is in one of those episodes.
Yeah, he was on one of those.
All right, the moment that everyone's been waiting for, we have some corset giveaways. We're going to go over some submissions first. Lou, did you get to look at any of them? Do you want to take a look? Stab, you're muted.
Hey, I was muted. I was taking a look at them, but like I said, I need to really read up a lot more on 2.0 to kind of get into the meta. I mean, I've never really been one for the competitive meta anyway, but, I can just look at... Were you guys talking about Cooper's list earlier?
All right.
Yeah, Cooper's list is the one that I wanted.
Yeah, okay, go ahead, Marshall. You can tackle this monster.
Okay.
Am I missing? Did he not write the whole thing in?
I'm sorry. That was my fault.
He didn't write the whole thing in. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to go over the list, Marshall?
Yeah, I'll run it down really quick. Everyone did Luke Pilot. I don't think there's an instance of Luke Gunner in any of the entries we received. So it's Luke Pilot with Instinctive Aim, which is Deadeye, Force Power Deadeye. R5 Astromech, which lets you repair damage cards, proton torpedoes, and munitions failsafe. Munitions failsafe is functionally the same thing. Except you can like choose to do it, which I think is interesting. It's better in a way. And then the servo motor S foils thing. And then the second ship he's got is Sabine Wren in the attack shuttle, because Cooper has some weird obsession with Sabine Wren in the attack shuttle. She's pretty good though. She's got outmaneuver, she's got stealth device, she's got Nian Num, and she's got dorsal turret. And so what we figured out from the rules reference is that you can use Sabine Wren's, you can use her ability to do a linked action. So you can barrel roll into that evade. And then with Nian Num, you have a bunch of options to clear your stress, when you execute that maneuver. And then you get a third action. So you can barrel roll, evade, focus, which, seems pretty good, even at initiative 3. And then it's the third ship is Kyle Katarn with marksmanship, which is one of the choices I was tripped up by, shield upgrade and moldy crow. So pretty good Hawk there. Excited to see the Hawk. Glad he included that. I think Jyn Erso is a good choice, especially with moldy crow. One of the reasons I like this list is because it had like weird choices that I was not expecting, like not supernatural reflexes on Luke, not a regen droid on Luke. So good on Cooper for thinking outside of the box about that stuff.
Jank Master McCracken.
Yeah, it's janky and it's fun and it's got all the ships that he loves.
Right.
which is good. And it's got all the ships. It's got a bunch of Rebel stuff that I'm excited for. So good job, Cooper. That was my pick.
Rob, did you able to look at them?
Yeah. So I had originally picked one, and then after further consideration, I found one I liked better. It's Nick Botner's list. It's Luke Skywalker, supernatural reflexes, which I felt like there was quite a few that had supernatural reflexes that I saw. So I don't know if that's going to be like a staple on card or not. I'm trying to think. I really feel like I saw a bunch, but maybe I'm.
It was like half and half with supernatural. Okay. And yeah.
All right. But so he had supernatural on Luke with R2-D2, S foils, shield upgrade, and E-wing Cornhorn with Predator, proton torpedoes, afterburner, fire control system, and R3 Astromech. It's a two ship. Two small ships in a list. 2.0. I have no idea what that looks like, which intrigues me. Which I think intrigues me the most about this. Cornhorn. It just seems so fragile, but at the same time, it feels like it would pack quite a punch.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I like it. It's got a little thematic just with Luke with R2 and everything, but. I like it. And again, I think the biggest thing was just like, wow, really? Like in 1.0, that would never do anything, especially now. But I would love to see that on the table, and I would love to see what that would do.
All right.
Can Cornhorn fire his torpedoes with his ability? No, it's primary attack. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, you may perform a bonus primary attack against a ship inside your, what is that, the... Bullseye arc.
All right, so I'm going to go over one. This one caught me a little off guard at first. Chris Martin. I didn't put this in the notes because it was just one of those ridiculous long addresses. So I was like, all right, let me just click this. I'll go over it. So first, it's Wedge Antilles in the T-65 with Crackshot, R4 Astromech, Ion Torpedoes, and the S-Foils, which I think Wedge is going to be pretty good because he reduces that agility. Then he has Han Solo in the Millennium Falcon title, Trickshot, Chewbacca, Wraith Cargo Chute, and Luke Skywalker Gunner. So at first I was just Gunner. So at first I was like, you're moving at 6 with Han Solo. You can rotate your arc if you need to. So why would you do it with Luke? And then I was like, how big is that force? I mean, granted, it Luke's 30 points, but how big is that force point going to be with Han Solo? Like, you're moving last. If you're not moving last, you now have Luke to change your turret. And if you don't need to change a turret, you now have the force of a point from the upgrade card. I think it has something to take a look at. Like, I think that might be an overlooked that Luke Gunner is still really good just because he has that force point.
Yeah, he might be worth the 30 points. It's crazy, but he might be worth it.
And the other thing that I really like, he's got Han, Chewbacca, and Luke all in the same ship. So,
that's
super thematic. And then Wedge in the T-65. So, kudos to you. I like that. I will probably put that at the table at one point just to see how that force point actually will affect the battle. All right, guys. So, I have here, we had a number of submissions. I am going to randomly pick a number. I have a random number generator based off how many submissions we had. And the winner is going to go to...
Drumroll noise, drumroll noise, drumroll, drumroll, drumroll.
Hold up. Chris Hodges.
All right.
He had the Luke Skywalker and the X-Wing, Jake Farrell, which I know Jonathan is excited to put Jake on the table, and Wedge Antilles. So
I'm excited about Jake, yeah.
Chris.
Oh yeah, this list was super cool too.
Yeah. So Chris's list was Luke Skywalker in the T-65 with instinctive aim, proton rockets, R2-D2, and the servo motor S foils. Jake with outmaneuver and proton rockets, which could be fun. And then Wedge Antilles with outmaneuver, R5-D8, and the S foils. So Chris, you got a week to get back to us. Email us back at Liberty Squadron Podcast and with your information, and we will get that core set out to you ASAP. All right. Rob, do you want to go over what you want for this week?
Yeah, so have you mentioned, so I did pick up a 2.0 Fang Fighter while I was at Gen Con for the podcast. Me and Aaron, Andrew pitched in and got one of those. So this week, I think, part of me wants to make it a Boba Fett. Has to have a list of Boba Fett with either the crew or the ship, because that's just what I want to do. But it does make sense because it's a Fang Fighter to have a Fang in there. So maybe that.
Sure.
Well, I guess we'll just do Fang Fighter. It's got to have a Fang. It's got to have a Fang Fighter in it. It doesn't have to be any particular Fang Fighter pilot. Just put a Fang Fighter in there. Bonus points if you put Boba Fett in there, although it doesn't guarantee you win.
Nice. Right, so, okay, for... I will link a squad builder and make it easier on everyone. I've been using yet another squad builder 2.0. Super easy to use. I will link that in the comments. And
Put
your submissions into libertysquadronpodcast@gmail.com, and we will... I believe we're recording in 2 weeks, so this one... We'll be
still have some time. Yeah, and just to be clear from what Andrew's saying is to make his life easier, I guess we're only going to accept submissions that are that use the yet another squad builder 2.0, the place you can build it, just so that way you can build it, make a printable version, copy and paste. It's not like, and we have everything. It's all formatted the same. It all looks the same. It's easier for him. It's easier for us. So if it does not come in that way, it is not going to be accepted.
Right. So either just put the link in there and then I can do it from there. Or if you just copy and paste it off the export, that's fine too. Either or. But just use that squad builder. Give them some traffic for the tremendous job that they're doing over there. All right. So we haven't done this in a little bit. I want to get back to it. Beginner tip of the week. I haven't done one yet, so I'll take this reins. One of the things is everyone should learn to do, especially when you're newer, is learn how to train track. 9 times out of 10, when you are bumping a ship, you're going to be like, okay, well, he just ends here. And I guarantee you, your arc's probably not facing the way that it should be. The second edition templates are kind of designed to help you with this a lot. So they have a line down the middle of them, so you can actually line it up with the dash marks in the middle of your ship that have to match up on the train track where you do it. So the reason I'm saying this is because a lot of times you see newer players do this. I'm like, okay, the ship just ends here and that's it. What the other side of it is, now if you're a newer player, you can also request the other player to train track their ships if it becomes a bump, because they might wiggle their ship to be like, okay, well, the arc is where I want it to point now. Especially now with second edition coming out, arcs are going to matter a ton with turrets and everything. It's not just 360-degree arcs anymore. So this is something you should learn how to do, practice. It's in the rules reference guide on how to do it. And like I said, even especially like with the slow or the like one speed maneuvers and everything, I guarantee that arc is not going to be pointing the way that you think it is. So if you are new to the game, get in the habit of doing this and get in the habit of asking your opponent to do it. Just don't say, okay, what ends here? I mean, obviously, if it's a straight, it's going, you know, there's no point of train tracking it. But if it's any kind of turn maneuver or bank maneuver, I would absolutely suggest you get in the habit of doing this. All right, guys, I think that is it for this week's episode.
I have a couple.
You want to do some?
Can I go?
You want to do some beginner tips?
I have some beginner
tips. All right, go ahead.
So the first one is a 2.0. Well, actually, I guess they both could be 2.0. The first one is, after coming from Gen Con, because, guys, did you know I went to Gen Con?
I think I heard you went to Gen Con.
Yeah. So the conversion kits, other than, you know, the faction-specific, usually crew cards, you are going, if you get every single conversion kit, you are going to have a boatload of repeat cards. So I guess it's not really a beginner tip. It's just a beware thing that, like, you're just going to have a lot of extra stuff. So keep that in mind. If there's things that you, like, I don't know, you have a friend that you want to give stuff to, or maybe you're thinking about getting in 2.0, like you didn't have a good time with 1.0 or whatever, there is a lot of overlap, even with non-specific like crew cards and things like that that are kind of anyone can use. You're going to have a lot of it. So keep that in mind. The other thing is I had mentioned that I have done more organizing with 2.0 than playing. One thing that I've done, and I've done it with 1.0 and Andrew, well, all of three of you, Lou, Marshall, have probably seen, I am very adamant about making sure what I take to the store, whether it's for just a normal, you know, just get together and play or a tournament, what I take to the store is what I take home. What I mean by that is I, on Amazon, for a couple bucks, really, I get these like 3 millimeter diameter, like blue stickers. I use blue. I think even Jonathan does this now. And I put that blue sticker on any piece of cardboard that I could potentially lose or just want to keep track of. So, you know, you just take these little tiny stickers, you put it on there. It's just an indication that that is yours and it's not going to get mixed up with anybody's. I do that for my dials, that for everything. I think that's a good thing to do. So you make sure if you're missing a card or missing, like I said, like, I don't know, just get something mixed up, you have a way to identify that that is yours. Do it to your rocks. Do it to anything that could potentially get mixed up.
Yeah, me and Marshall literally just played a game the other day, and I almost picked up one of his dials because we were both playing Imperials. And I was like, oh, crap, which one was mine? So it's always very good to mark your stuff so you know just something. If you're playing the same faction, you know which is which. I think the new dials have the actual ship name on them, right? On the back side of them.
On the outside.
Yeah, but yeah, even still, if everyone's running the same ships, it's still good to mark yourself just so you know which one's yours. You're not thinking like, of someone else's.
And those stickers, like I said, they're tiny things. Like, you can find them on Amazon, and they come in a wide range of colors. So I just pick blue because that's my favorite color. If you're a purple guy, pink person, I don't know, yellow, orange, whatever. Yeah, I think they even have metallic versions. You know, you can find a color. And I just think it's a good idea for a couple extra bucks. Take an afternoon, or I don't know. It's very, for me, it's very kind of soothing to just sit there and take a little dial, put a sticker on, put it away, get another one, put a sticker on, put it away. But it just helps make sure that, like, if you're somebody that, you know, because it's an expensive game, right? Like, it adds up. The cost adds up over time. You don't want to lose your stuff. I don't think I've ever lost anything. And I mean, I don't know if it's because I put those on there, but I'm sure it has helped. So that's what I'd suggest.
All right. Hey, Lou, do you got anything you want to add? Any beginner tips?
No, not really. I was I was going to disappear earlier, but people were talking, so I was like, eh.
All right. Well,
all my stuff, you know, so that I don't say anything.
Well, then I guess that we'll close out the episode. Do you have any shout outs, Lo?
But me? No.
All right, okay. There you go. Well, first, Lou, I want to thank you for coming on. You're a staple to the community. You run a smooth show in everything that you do, and we are excited for the group championship coming out.
Well, thank you. And you know what? I'm glad that there's finally, we have a podcast coming from our area, you know?
Yeah.
That's pretty important.
Try to keep the community updated and everything that we do. And like I said, you know, everything that you do, we communicate on this podcast, and we will continue to do so. So thanks for what you do.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks, Lou.
Thanks.
All right, anybody else have any shout-outs?
I'm good.
All right. Marshall, anything?
Gameskeep. East Coast
Gamers. Oh, right. Gameskeep and East Coast. Good call. There. I believe.
What's the date? The 18th.
The 18th. Do you know what time they start? Probably not.
I do not.
I think... I'm pretty sure...
Check the Facebooker.
Yeah, check the Facebooker.
Good excuse to join the Facebooker.
Yeah.
If you're not already on them.
All right,
we got some tournaments.
I think it's like 11, but...
Yeah. All right, I think that does it for this week's episode. Thanks for listening, and congratulations. Who was it? Chris Hodges. There we go.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Chris. Well, again, you have a week to be get us your information. We'll send it out. All right, guys. I'm Andrew.
I'm Rob.
I'm Marshall.
I'm Lou. All
right, have a great week, and fly something.
Yeah, just fly something.
Just fly something. Just get something on the table and fly it. All right, guys.